When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays. The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Peggy, let's hit him big time.
Houston, let's get in the loop.
You better get ready because we're going to show up and show up.
With John Lopez and Reggie Atitula. Always live.
Love it. Love it.
Always local.
Don't ever underestimate the heart of a champion.
You're in the loop on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610.
Yes, sir. In the loop, Sports Radio 610. You got John Lopez, you got Figgy Fig, and you have myself, Reginald Atitula, with you on a Texans victory reaction Monday here on Sports Radio 610. It is what a time to be alive as your Texans move to 3-1 after a 24-20 victory over the Jaguars at NRG Stadium yesterday. In fact, it was clinched, sealed by this play right here.
Second and goal. Diggs to the right side.
You gotta have
British Brooks
unit ready.
Offset eye. CJ rolls out to the right, throws to the end zone. Hits Dory! And the Texans score! They lead! CJ Stroud to Dory Ogunbowale, who's had a huge game, puts the Texans on top.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he did. Let me ask you guys what I'm feeling today. I'm feeling a lot better about this game yesterday.
Okay.
Right now than I did last night when I went to bed.
Interesting. All right, so this is going to be a true reaction Monday.
Yeah.
713-572-4610 is the number to text. There's also the YouTube and Twitch. Those are available to you, and I would love if you get involved there. The YouTube is Sports Radio 610. The Twitch is 610 Houston. And, of course, the Odyssey app, always there for you. Especially up top here. Please get involved because I don't exactly know how to feel about this victory, 24-20. Obviously,
yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Right,
it was
there.
One that you needed to get. Mm-hmm. Right, it was one that you definitely needed to get. Division game. I don't know how to feel because you won the game. There was definitely some good elements, but some of the things that we were complaining about and hand wringing about last week and maybe even further. Still popped up in various ways.
Yeah, look, I'm interested. How do you guys feel now compared to last night? I feel better now, but not great. I mean, it's kind of weird. I can't help but say I was talking to you guys before the show, and I said, are you more optimistic or pessimistic about where this team?
Yeah, that's a great way.
Where this team can go? Forget where they are, because don't look now. But the Texans have they're number two in the AFC.
That's correct
overall. Behind the Kansas City Chiefs. Remarkably, they are. But where you feel where they can go. And I keep going back to this thing, this one thing. Because let's be honest, Reggie, we all see the issues. Like, you have to be a blind person to not see some of the things that can absolutely bite this team in the butt. Like, just absolutely derail what should be a really good season. We all see them. But, man, you got number seven. Like that was the epitome of as long as you got that guy calling the shots and pulling the trigger, you're going to have a chance.
Yeah, man. Number seven doing his thing, making things shake, making dudes right, whether it was Bobby Slowick or really offensive line in various different instances. And look, we will have times to gush. We have you for 4 hours. But number 12 as well.
Yeah.
Number 12 as well. He's like, oh, man, you have that guy. And offense will be there. Passing offense will exist. And so there's a lot of different ways that we can go on this, right? Do you ultimately feel more optimistic or pessimistic after a 24-20 victory, a relatively close one against a team that we came into this game feeling that the Texans were definitely better than? But ultimately, you saw some of the revving of the engine that I was talking about.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to D'Amico Ryans. This is how he addressed the team in the locker room. Now, of course, immediately after the game, does he lean all the way optimistic? Does he lean a little pessimistic? Where does he fall in this?
Hey, great job, man. Hey, I talked about it last night. Whatever it takes, whoever it takes, however long it takes, finish with the win. And that's what we did today. We wanted to finish the first month of the season 3-1, and we did that. All right? Great job. Great job. Great job across the board. Hey, we can be a really good team. Really good team if we all commit to doing the right things all the time. Right? You see it, guy. We got to get out of our own way. Commit to doing the right things all the time, man. And how, see how good we can be when we get out of our own way. Y'all with me?
Yes, sir.
All right, just a couple balls here, all right? What do we got? Daray, big time, man. Daray, hey, great job, man. Great job. We needed it most. We needed it most. Great job. And I think he got the most yards in the first 4 weeks of a season. Nico Collins! Great job, man. Keep balling, CJ, again. Great job. Way to lead us. All right, offense, what we needed it most, guys. Way to go close it out. That's what we look like. That's how it should look every single time. Proud of y'all boys, man. Proud of you. Let's fix what we got to fix, and let's keep getting better, keep moving forward.
That's a guy. He put a little extra jelly on that. Nico Collins! I like that. But that's a guy that, what, 3-4 times? He said, get out of our own way, fix what we got to fix.
You know what I mean?
I think he was talking to Steven Sims right there.
He was talking to a lot of folks. on this. Reggie, we all see him. They're there. There are some problems here that need to be, you know, corrected, as he likes, cleaned up, as they like to say. But, you know, Nico Collins, you mentioned, you know, it just the best receiver in the NFL right now, probably, you know, or at least certainly on the list.
Yeah, I mean, he's leading in yardage by a good margin.
But it comes back to C.J. Stroud. Let's be very, very honest here, which we always try to do. That was a game that they, by all rights, could have and should have lost. Like, you know, without the defensive stand, without Doug Peterson, going for three early in the game when it was fourth and one or whatever, without some big time plays when it mattered most, and without CJ finding Nico, because that's the key element there. Nico got open on some of those scramble plays, some of those what do they call them, off script plays or whatever. But I think there are maybe four quarterbacks that can do what CJ Stroud did. There's a lot of great quarterbacks in the NFL, but four that can escape like that, buy time like that, throw, you know, across his body like that, or you know, awkwardly like that. And that's Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes, and him. And, you know, there's not many quarterbacks that can do.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays. The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Do what he did.
Yeah, man, his pocket management. Yeah. It deserves plaudits, man. He handled himself like a champ, both in the pocket and giving himself more opportunity and time to throw, and then even outside of the pocket. Like his presser percentage was like fairly average when it came to this game, and then also time to throw, relatively average. But ultimately, the results were incredible. Yeah. I was telling you before the show, as I was just kind of looking at some additional numbers. Of the top 10 quarterbacks in passer rating performance this past week, there were only two of them that threw the ball 40-plus times. Mm-hmm. Baker Mayfield, whose passer rating was, I believe, about 100, if I remember correctly. Let me go ahead and pull this back up in front of myself so I don't lie to the good people. But, yeah, the passer rating for Baker Mayfield in this game was 100.5.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you look at C.J. Stroud, who had thrown the ball 40 times as opposed to the 47 of Baker Mayfield, and he had a passer rating of 110.9.
Yeah. And look, part of it also is we've been waiting. We've been clamoring. I've been saying it. You've been saying it. Let's let C.J. Stroud go.
Yeah.
And so that's the other part that, like, if am I optimistic, pessimistic? I would be optimistic by a smidge because of that guy. When they were trailing, and shout out to G.J. Bienemy for bringing this to light, because I stole it directly from him. When the Texans were trailing in this game, CJ Stroud was 22 out of 29 for 273 yards and two touchdowns. Again, there might be four guys that can do that.
Yeah. I mean, look, I think I'm in the similar space as you. I'm trending just a little bit optimistic, but I was hoping to be a lot more optimistic.
Yeah.
I mean, look, we all understand what's coming down the pipe. We don't have to get there quite yet when it comes to the Bills coming to town next week. We could stay right here and have our fill, right, when it comes to the Jaguars come in. And, again, you are a better team than the Jacksonville Jaguars. There's going to be more things that I can show you to highlight the fact that the Jaguars are not in the best place. And even with that, there was ups and downs, right? Like, the O-line was up and down.
Oh, boy, baby.
In the course of this game. And yet, there was still, you know, time to throw was decent, and CJ was able to make some things happen. Still racked up penalties and yardage as well in the course of all of that, right? The defense had some instances where they were locked in, especially late in the game. You see, when we have to give a big shout out to Kalen Bullock, who like goes and runs down a busted play where Tank Bigsby gets out in space, and it looks like, all right, that's a give up touchdown. But the young man's like, no, I will, you know, live up to the mentalities of our coach and go and give our defense one blade of grass, and then ultimately they stand on that blade of grass. But at the same time, something that we talked about all season long thus far, the opportunity for big plays existed within that. We saw double moves still hit our guy Kamari Lassiter. Just you saw a lot of pitch and catch misses from the Jaguars. There's every blade of grass on this game that you want to look at. I can see the positives and the negatives here, but I did appreciate that at least you saw that final drive get put together, as you mentioned, CJ Stroud. And then, like, every facet of this game showed you a little bit of something towards the idea that this team can be a great team and a Super Bowl contender. The problem for me was they don't look like a Super Bowl contender.
They don't look it overall. They have the guy that
can
do it.
At this moment, I should mention.
Yeah, they have the guy that can do it. But you mentioned the offensive line. Well, I mean, they are the Houston Texans are the most penalized team in the entire NFL today. That's not going to get you there. You mentioned some of the things in the secondary, and we'll get into this of course as we move along. But they face any other quarterback that's better than Trevor Lawrence, they might lose this game going away. So yes, there are some contenders, and by the way, they're facing a lot of good quarterbacks upcoming.
Yeah,
five of the next seven games are against what a lot of people would call upper echelon or maybe even elite quarterbacks, depending on the opponent. So yeah, you got to fix it. But man, you know, when we talked last week, we talked about Bobby Slowick and the offense and the script and letting CJ do it. Maybe it was out of necessity, but CJ did it, and he finally showed that glimpse of what very, very few people can do.
Yeah, and again, Victory Monday, right? Reaction Monday. And I have this kind of two wolves feeling in me, and it seems like I'm not the only one. Like, looking at the text line, you guys are coming strong on this one, right? Like, there's folks, and of course, 832, I appreciate you. They said, good morning, guys. I'm sorry, John, I have to disagree with you. I am blind. I can see the issue, and I can't see the issue. Great show.
Sorry about that.
God bless. Appreciate you. There's folks from the 713 there. Pessimistic. Run game still looks non-existent. Penalty is still an issue. Texans lose if Darnold is the quarterback of the Jags. Missed a huge touchdowns by Trevor Lawrence. I think that is fair. But then also, another 713 points out, and this is something I was mentioning to Sean Bajani, who I was sitting next to in the press box. Right, if that punt, muffed punt doesn't happen on literally the first drive of the game, that's 7 points that you did not hand to the Jaguars, and this game looks a little bit different, at least on the scoreboard.
Right.
You know?
Right. No question. Another one from the 832. At this moment, you can't put the Texans higher than middle of the pack in the league. I don't agree with that, but I get it. Like you can't ignore some of the things that are going on here, but you also can't ignore the guy that is kind of a masking agent, and that's C.J. Stroud. He can mask all the ill will.
Do y'all feel comfortable saying that this team is a Super Bowl contender?
Not right now. Not today.
No, and to that end, I know that Ron was talking about this on Twitter, and somebody also comes with a similar perspective, or that Ron was speaking to, mentioning, I guess, the Chiefs, right? Like, there's a lot of parity in this league, and then the Chiefs have also squeaked out wins in the course of this early season. The distinction between the Chiefs and the Texans is there is a level of belief and understanding that the Chiefs can play at that level, right? Like, they have some bona fides. They have some priors. The Texans don't have those priors.
Hell, the Bills.
Right? The Bills.
Yeah.
You can have, and they have also, in the way that I will use this phrase again, and I might be overusing it at this point. Y'all let me know, right? The Bills have revved that engine. Yeah. We know what the high water mark looks like for them. We have not seen this Texas team put that up yet in this early season. And when you consider some of the competition that they're playing against, that can be a little unsettling. But, right, all of that said, I think the other side of this is, and this is where I can't even get too negative on it. We started seeing a little bit. That last final drive started looking like, oh, okay, this is what it can be, yeah. Right? And I early on in this game, I think I turned to you when you were still sitting in the press box with me, and I was like, it does feel like there's a level of variety mm-hmm. in this offense from Bobby Slowick. That was encouraging for me. Even someone that mentioned that felt like the running game was not there. Understood, and maybe this is like I am grading on a curve because I'm already in a place where I'm like, yeah, this is not going to be a great running team. Mm-hmm. I did feel like they utilized some of the things that were smart. Like there was a good amount of draws. There were some traps in there that were able to generate some space in a way that I don't think that this offensive line has passed a run blocked very well thus far this season. Like little, there's positives and negatives all the way in this. And ultimately, right, it feels like a lot of that is negating itself to where I'm like, I don't know exactly where to feel after what was a good win in the course of like the game itself, but a little bit problematic and scary when you think of the expectations that the Texans team now has and who's coming down the road.
Look, when you're talking expectations, the other side, the other way you can look at it, as I started the show, is as long as you have that guy at quarterback, you know, he can cure a lot of ills. He can be the masking agent. He can be a guy that carries this team when all else is when there's bedlam around you, when the team is not playing well and all that. But how much can he do that against the upper tier teams? You know, that's the question. That's why it still needs to be cleaned up. I think the offensive line, I give them a negative grade, a failing grade overall. I really do. You talk about the running game. Running backs only rushed for 78 yards.
Yeah.
I mean, the team ran for 101 yards, but that was Stephon Diggs on reverse, Sims on reverse, Sims on whatever. C.J. Stroud, I think, had 17, 18 yards rushing. Running backs had 78 yards rushing. And the protection broke down. And there were penalties, maybe not pre-snap as much, but dumb penalties, linemen downfield, you know, holding calls, et cetera. So, no, there are some severe issues with this team. And there's also number seven. You know, it puts you in a weird place. That's why I said optimistic by a smidge.
From the 281, was at the game yesterday and found myself irrationally angry at the Texans. It's frustrating to see professionals act so unprofessionally. And at the same time, from the 832, Texans won, bottom line, the coaches will coach. Jeez, fellas, everything will work out.
Well, they said last week they had to clean it up.
And it felt really ultimatum-y, yeah. Right? It felt real ultimatum-like. Mm-hmm. And ultimately we got out here, and I don't know that we saw the effect of an ultimatum. It felt like it was still in some nebulous place mm-hmm. in the middle. I feel bad again, right? This is a victory Texas victory reaction Monday. And yet and still, a yeah. win, 24-20 versus the Jaguars. I don't know what to do with
it. What's crazy is I guarantee you people in Kansas City felt the same way last season mm-hmm. where they were yeah. squeaking out wins, wasn't really playing as well, the offense didn't look as well.
Yeah.
And they felt like, I'm sure they felt like this after a win. Mm-hmm. So I don't think the season is over or anything like no. that. I think it's still early. They still got some time to get together. But I'd be lying to y'all if I didn't feel as good during this Victory Monday as I would any other victory. Yeah. Because this was the Jags, man. I said it on Friday. They should have whooped their ass like they stole something, man.
Right. And I do wonder how much you then go back to the idea that, hey, man, it's a division game and you throw the records out and it's just like that, the funniness that happens man, within that.
The Jazz are a mess.
I mean, we call it a style points win.
Look, a win is a win. I know yeah. we're going to keep saying that all
Green one,
day
baby.
Long. Yeah. But, man, that Jags team is a mess.
Yeah.
Trevor Lawrence missed a lot of open folks, man.
He sure did. And so, yeah, the thing that I was talking about with Creighton before we walked out of the press mm-hmm. box was, hey, man, you'd rather be 3-1 ugly than 1-3 pretty, right?
No question.
And that works for the time being when it comes to the record. But when it comes to like trying to project forward what kind of performance you will see, that type of stuff is what you see on the field. And that stuff on the field, We need to see some better. We're
better.
Just going on a Texans victory Monday here on Sports Radio 610. Yeah, good question that was asked about why did the refs mess up the cover when the point spread at the end of the game.
That.
Yeah, we'll bring that back around for sure, because we had some people, Seth, that were really interested in that in the booth. So we'll talk about that later. But coming up next, let's go ahead and get you what you always want on a Reaction Monday, the OG's passing thoughts. We'll do that next.
It's a Shoppers John Deere Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Here's In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
You're in the Loop, Sports Radio 610. Appreciate you hanging out with us on this Reaction Monday after your Texans get a 24-20 victory over the Jaguars. It was up and down, and that is the way that we are feeling on a Monday. A little up and down. Where are we indeed is a great question to ask. Somebody asked, why aren't you talking as much about how Joe Mixon was missing from the run game? And I think that factors in, but I've been focused so much on how the offensive line themselves are contributing to the run game and the passing game. It feels like that foundation matters so much in what this Texans team will ultimately do. And even in that space, I'm up and down, because it did not feel like they were flatly bad.
Yeah.
But there were instances, shout out to Kenyon Green, right, where you could go, not necessarily look as good. I wonder if that will come up, amongst other things, in the OG's passing thought.
Let's do it.
Experience, wisdom, opinions, barbecue sauce. Our guy Lopez has it all and shares it with you.
I used to go into the clubhouse and I just...
It's time for the OG's passing thoughts.
Tell me a story, OG.
That's still a very concerning.
It's a very concerning.
I want to know that story.
Maybe one of these days. All right, some passing thoughts. This is just scatter shooting, some things that we will and maybe not get into over the course of the day and the week. I got a question for both you guys. Will Steven Sims be on this team midweek?
Oof. Hey, I've been checking my phone to see if we heard the little update today.
Dude, when you do one thing, that's it. I mean, he was early on, he was the first team kickoff returner, too. We didn't even see him on a kickoff return.
Yeah, he got the come sit by me treatment.
Yeah. He got benched twice.
Yeah, that feels like a no. Right, that feels, especially when you consider, like, they're deep at wide receiver. And I understand he's not the only one, you know, he basically isn't a wide receiver, he's a special teams player. But that is a spot where they had a lot of space, and they made sure to keep him for the returning effort. Other people can do that. They have a lot of dudes on this team that can do that, in fact.
What do you think? I'm talking this week, midweek. I think it's on the table.
For sure.
Man, I think, honestly, I mean, I know Mechie only had one catch, but I could see them possibly trying to keep Mechie, you know, active.
That's a good point.
Robert Woods really got a lot of opportunity there, and that's for a dude who, you know, without Tank Dell, he got a lot of those snaps, but outside of that, in the first few weeks, he hasn't had a lot to do. Yeah. That could be another way to get him involved. Like, there's other players that can do that, and the reason why you were there is like, oh, we feel like you do that at a higher level, but if you're going to have those issues, you might not be here. Like, that is a really tough, very bad, no good game for him.
So this passing thought ties directly to that passing thought. How do you use what do you do with Dare Ogunbowale when Joe Mixon returns?
I mean, it feels like
the same thing you've been doing with him, right?
Yeah, like third down.
Put him in there, third down, pass protection.
So Cam Akers or Damian Pierce aren't up on game day?
With
Joe Mixon. So you got Joe Mixon, you got all four. Or could you steal a spot with Sims, is what I'm saying.
I see what you're doing there.
You know what I mean?
It's possible, especially since even when Damian Pierce is active, they do like him returning kicks as well.
Yeah.
Maybe that is the way that they handle that.
Maybe Damian Pierce.
But that might not be the best allocation.
These are passing thoughts.
I think it's interesting, though. Right?
It would help. Crazy things that enter my mind.
No, it would help them have all those guys active.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know?
I like what you're doing there. That's interesting.
All right. Here's another one for you guys. Outside of a truly, truly remarkable game-saving tackle by Kalen Bullock, I'm not sure safety play has gotten any better. Look, man, Doug Peterson came into the game. I was commenting to you right out of the chute. Four straight passes to Christian Kirk. All of them were sort of trying to get the safety in a bad spot.
Yeah.
Then later in the game, they got the safeties in a bad spot. Christian Kirk flat out should have scored a touchdown on one. I believe I forget the other one, but there was another one. It might have been the tight end that's not named Evan Engram that got behind the safeties. I don't know if safety play has gotten any better.
Yeah, even when they were in tight, the Brian Thomas touchdown, shout out to Ocho, who I'm sure will text this soon, got a safety in there. I mean, it was a tough situation, but, you know, move off the line, game a little stutter, gets to the slant, and sayonara, right? Like, easy touchdown. So, yeah, safety play is going to be an interesting space. Obviously, Jimmy Ward out in this game, but Jimmy Ward has had, you know, his difficulties early on in the season as well. Yeah, that's definitely a space to watch for improvement.
If these teams had switched quarterbacks, I think the Jaguars would have won by at least two touchdowns. That ties in with what we just talked about. My goodness, does Trevor Lawrence miss open receivers?
He's so inconsistent.
Dude, he's the most I can't even imagine being a Jaguars fan. It's in the same neighborhood for different reasons as Deshaun Watson. Like, he'll show you something and you're like, yeah, all right. And then, boy, Brian Thomas, you mentioned, Christian Kirk. Some, you paid the guy, was it $230 million? What did he make? $230, $240, something like that?
He make a damn lot. Yeah. I'll say that.
Enough to hit that
to be
that
looking
receiver.
Like that on the field. Yeah.
Yes, yeah. Yes. I think, see, if you switch these two quarterbacks, the Jaguars would have won by two touchdowns. Flat out.
I think that's fair. I mean, they get the turnover in the situation, and then they have plenty of open situations. I mean, we'll get to the Doug Peterson audio at some point today where, you know, he was asked about taking play call and doing it. He's like, feel like the play calling was good enough. And if you just look at the idea of how many open plays were, you know, not taken advantage of, I can see why he would be like, no, we did a great job. You just got to hit that wide open dude.
Yeah, yeah. And then, of course, late in the first quarter or early second, whatever it was, Jaguars are driving. I think they have a 4th-and-1 or 2, and they yank Trevor Lawrence off the field and kick a field goal. That's a lot of money you're spending on a guy to make plays like that. All right, another one. And this one has an update this morning. Sitting next to Seth Payne in the press box is a very educational and physical experience. Did you notice he slapped me twice on the back? After
I didn't see that.
He just like a... And I'm like, oh, like we're watching a game and either Stroud made an unbelievable throw and he did it last week.
Are you calling him Lenny from A Mice and Men that he just didn't know his own strength?
I'm sitting there. and I said educational, like his insight is awesome. You and I were both looking over his shoulder, asking him questions about specific things. And that's the best part.
That's my favorite part about watching these games at NRG Stadium is just sitting with all the guys and the collective knowledge that gets to flow around. I appreciate it a lot.
Yeah. And then they make a play and he's like, boom. And I'm like, dude, that's my shoulder. Like,
that's right. That's why he slapped it.
And the update this morning is, if you didn't see my tweet.
Oh, no.
We walk into the studio today, and I mean right here. I don't even want to touch the table where it was.
All right.
On this table, between these two microphones, it's the first time I've ever seen anything like this, is a pair of underwear.
Some draws.
A pair of underwear. In the studio, on the table, between the microphones.
Now, in defense of the plaintiff or the defendant here, the drawers were folded up, which would lead you to believe they were clean. However, you can never take such gambles, right, in our positions when you don't have that information. But yes, the drawers are folded on the table, but they were indeed drawers.
Lopez
on the table.
Got the drawers though.
All right,
and he goes, just bring them to me. The hell I am. I need a pair of tongs and a mask. But anyway, so the left underwear here. All right, so here's another one. Put the penalties aside. And they're different kind of penalties, but put the penalties aside. It might be time to revisit Kenyon Green and Titus Howard, huh?
Yes.
Specifically Kenyon Green?
Yes. Like, I mean, early on, week one, it was like, oh, man, Kenyon Green. And we probably jumped the gun on giving him plaudits for, you know, improvement. Because since then, has not been very good. And in this game, he was most penalized in this game. He had 3 penalties in and of himself. I'll talk less of, you know, the actual work of getting things done. Some of those are the maybe discipline or, like, lack of mental focus ones, getting too far upfield. Now, although one of those I went back and looked, he was on the borderline, and then the defensive lineman pushed him forward, which, hey, you know, what are you going to do? I guess maybe be in a better position. But, yeah, he definitely has some issues here, and it does make me wonder how much of Tunsil's issues are, you know, playing with the dude of that is young now, not trying to give him a pass because Tunsil has his own stuff.
Mm-hmm. Well, speaking of Laremy Tunsil, here's another one. And I'm not trying to troll or be too harsh. Is Laremy Tunsil elite?
Oof, he's elite at pass blocking.
Is he? I mean, yes, he's been known as one of the best pass blockers in football.
All right, what are you getting at here, Lopez?
He lined up better. Like, he was right even with Kenyon Green, feet to feet, you know. He lined up better. He didn't have the false start, but he had some holding penalties. And I started to wonder, is that little extra edge that he gets, that little foot back, lining up a little bit behind Kenyon Green, which he's been penalized for, does that affect his pass blocking?
I'm certain. Like, that's the reason why it's done, right? They don't line up like that just for nothing. It's to help them get an extra step, which I'm
certain. So when he didn't, he got some holding penalties.
Yeah, and some of that was also, like, I imagine, and this had to have been on the broadcast. Obviously, we did not have an opportunity to listen to broadcast in the press box, but I'm sure that it was brought up that the red gloves that he was wearing
made
it more evident to see when those hands get out of alignment or what have you. But yeah, that it's an interesting thing to continue to watch. And I think that's a worthwhile note is that, hey man, that if he's not getting that extra jump, how successful is he?
Yeah.
Now, one of those I do remember was like a long play that was like six seconds
downfield
long.
Downfield a little bit.
Not even downfield. He comes to he's on the left side, obviously. Yeah. He's blocking, and then his assignment now cuts back inside, and now he's going back inside across to his right where, you know, he's not supposed to be blocking on the right side of the line. How does he end up here? Now, he probably needs to know at certain points, just go ahead and let go because it's been 6 seconds.
Yeah.
but, I can understand how that kind of messes you up, and that's one of the two that he got. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Couple more here for you, and then we'll let you go on the passing thoughts because I want to get these two in. Fola Fatakasi is having a Pro Bowl year. Yes or no? I think through four games, dude's making tackles behind the line of scrimmage, sacks, huge plays, stuffed the run on that third down, I believe, play was him, right? Fourth
yes, it was.
Derek Stingley.
Yeah, when they tried to do that little draw with Trevor Lawrence, and he shed his block beautifully. It was one of those it's one of those little things in sports that makes you smile, or at least me smile, where it's like, it's not a huge thing, but he just kept the offensive lineman off his body, shed it, and then one hand around Trevor Lawrence's neck. It's like, nobody, you're not going any further.
He probably won't get it. I shouldn't say probably. He may not get it, but he's having a Pro Bowl start to the season. Last one here. Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson have combined for 4 sacks in 4 games. I'm starting to wonder a little bit about when they're going to start stacking some of these up.
Hey, man, the pressure is there. The sacks aren't. And that actually became interesting in this game because they blitzed more than I would have anticipated, but they didn't get home.
Yeah.
And that was some of the reason why there was open guys to throw to, right? When you blitz, you expect that you're going to get there, and so you're not going to be able to cover in the same way.
Yeah.
That's something that you...
Put a pin in that, huh?
They need to start getting home, man.
Should have kept Grenard.
All right.
Well, hell, yeah.
What are you doing? I'm just joking.
Hell, yeah. 3-1 game.
I know. Hey, I'm just joking.
Are
I'm
you?
Joking. I think they're going to come around.
Yeah.
Okay. So your OG's passing thoughts after a 24-20 victory of your Texans over the Jacksonville Jaguars. Appreciate you hanging out with us in the loop. Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's get to our question of the day, in which we honor... a legend who we just recently found out passed, Dikembe Mutombo, at the age of 58, due to brain cancer, passed away. And so in his honor, our question of the day, what's your favorite signature celebration? 713-572-4610. Let's talk about that next.
It's a Shoppers John Deere Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, here's In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
Yeah, indeed, a Reaction Monday after a victory. Texas victory yesterday, 24-20 over the Jags at NRG Stadium. Moving them 3-1. The vibes are indiscernible. are tough to
what do they say? Meh.
Tough to figure out. And the vibes honestly got a little bit worse this morning when we saw the news that came down on social media and elsewhere that a legend of the NBA, a legend of Houston in some ways as well, Rockets legend, Dikembe Mutombo, passed away at the age of 58 due to brain cancer. These kind of revelations are always wild, especially when you do not know what's happening with someone's life. And to be fair, I'm not saying that we should know, right? Like, I don't have.
Well, some people just want to keep it private,
you know?
Yeah.
But it always hits, or at least for me, it feels like it hits harder when it's just like, oh gosh, they were suffering through that and we had no idea. And all of a sudden they're gone. And that's unfortunately what we were dealing with Dikembe Mutombo, who passed away. Incredible defensive player in this league. Incredible personality. I'll never forget the story of, I believe this was when Dikembe was in Denver, but at some point They walked into the club, and he had walked into the club with his hands up and said, "Who wants the sex Mutombo?"
Yeah.
And I'll never forget that for as long as I live, right? Like, that is the personality that we're talking about with Dikembe Mutombo. But in addition to that, right, like, mm-hmm. a humanitarian, like, obviously one of the reasons why we have the Basketball Africa League and why we're seeing more African players filter in was obviously Hakeem, but then also Dikembe Mutombo. And so all of those things, and great ambassador, passed away at age 58. Due to brain cancer, and another bleak cancer moment.
Yeah.
But in order to, like, uplift and have a happy spirit in this time, another thing Dikembe was always known for was that finger wag.
That finger wag, baby.
And that got
me
almost
thinking. He almost, like, it was out of joint when he did it. It went
exactly.
so far.
He had a long finger, too,
he had a
man.
Long finger. And it went way left and way right. It was awesome. First things on Dikembe. Then I got a couple celebrations. That
yeah.
Might,
question of the day, mind you. What's your favorite signature celebration in honor of Dikembe? 713-572-4610.
First on him, you hear this term a lot. Well, he's a better person than he is a player. I'll say this about Dikembe Mutombo. He's a better person than most people.
Mm.
I mean, just flat out. Forget he's a better person than he is a player. He was a better person than most people could even dream to be. I got to know him. Obviously, that was back when I was writing the column and going to a lot of games and you know, in that role a lot. And you and I found out at the same time, and I just, like, shock based on what you're saying. But Dikembe with the finger wag, which, by the way, J.J. Watt admits, you know, that was an influence on the J.J. Watt finger.
It's got to be.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
J.J. Watt, he knows where he was, right? And being mm-hmm. in Houston, like, he has that level of respect. And, of course, in Houston, we had a lot of love for Dikembe as
yeah.
well. So, that makes sense.
What's your favorite celebration? This is something that I never thought I would say on these airwaves. I'm a big gritty guy. I'm a big fan.
I've often said that about John. He looks like a gritty guy.
I'm a big gritty guy. And you know why? I think there's probably less than 10% of the people that are listening that can actually do it.
Okay.
It just looks almost impossible.
All right. I think it's fair.
Can you do it?
I gave up on the idea that I was going to do
yeah,
that.
Yeah, nah, I can't do that.
I'm telling you, it just looks
it
like...
It looks super cool, though,
it's
man.
Super cool.
When done well.
Yeah.
When
yeah.
done well. You get Mike Gesicki out here doing it.
Yeah.
Later.
Jamar Chase. I think Jamar Chase can do it.
Yeah, well, yeah. Those LSU guys were kind
yeah,
of the ones that...
Justin Jefferson,
yeah.
for sure.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably the face of the gritty.
Isn't it a New Orleans thing or started there? Isn't it a Louisiana thing, something?
That's a great question.
I thought yeah. it was just the LSU thing. That's I wasn't sure. Question. I don't know the history of it.
Yeah. But I'm a big fan of the gritty. Never thought I'd say that.
Okay. Right. One that comes in.
One that can Stingley do the gritty.
I bet he can.
That needs to be your next mission. Next time we get some media availability, we need to go and find out who amongst... You need to do a Jonathan M. Alexander-esque piece.
Yeah.
Finding out who in the locker room does gritty like Jonathan Alexander did a piece that was very interesting about how players get haircuts.
You'll hear about that in confessions.
Oh, okay. Very good. But some ones that came in... favorite celebrations, Ernest Givens' electric slide.
That was pretty sweet.
Good one. Mm-hmm. Icky Shuffle. The Icky Shuffle definitely came up. And that one, it's amazing how many of these came through in, like, commercials that were, like, so entrenched in our collective imagination that they had to bring these around and use them in other media situations. One that comes up as well, the Merton Hanks, what is it? The neck. I don't even know what to call that.
What does he do? I'm trying to remember.
It had to do with his neck because he had that long ass neck.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, okay. I'm still trying to place it, but I remember he had one. You can go back even further. Billy White Shoes. He kind of started the whole thing. And back then, people just spiked the ball or whatever, and then he started doing the funky chicken. Yeah.
This is a great answer from the 620, and this is definitely up there. Arian Foster, the Namaste.
I love it.
Yeah.
Oh, love that.
Incredible. Oh yeah. 713 comes up with a good one as well. This is not in American sports, but Cristiano Ronaldo's where he does, like, the kind of jump and he throws his arms back.
Yeah.
Like, it's incredible the ways in which you've also seen that spread widely as Cristiano Ronaldo, obviously a very influential guy. This is a... They spelled his name wrong, but now I'm forgetting. Sam Cassell.
Mm-hmm.
Sam Cassell's Big Balls Dance.
Oh, boy. That was a little bit out there.
But that's a great signature celebration, right? Is when you do that. Let's see. Someone said the Bregman camera stare in the dugout.
That's actually, I love that.
That was cool.
That's amazing, that. Right?
They always knew.
That's a different level of talent as well, or like preparation, because you have to know where your camera, you can't miss it. You got to hit that camera immediately.
What about the Shoulda Walked Me? The Bregman Shoulda Walked Me.
Yeah. That's tough. Let's see. Neon Skip.
Oh, yes.
That's good.
Yes.
Like if we're talking about someone celebrating.
That was so cool.
Deion Sanders got to be up there, right? Like just his whole persona, building a persona, in fact. Like building the primetime persona. Mm-hmm. Legendary. And so it had to come with a dance. You absolutely have to appreciate that. What are your favorite signature celebrations? Figgy, do you have one that comes to mind for you?
Yeah, the one, and I don't even know if you call this a celebration, but the Michael Jordan with the tongue out, whenever he drives him and he just throw the tongue. Everybody wanted to do that, man. That was just so cool. Another one, Ray Lewis just coming out of the tunnel and how he did that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That one, like, I didn't even care for Ray Lewis, but that every time I see him do that, I just get hyped.
How can you not?
That was the one for me. It's like watching Ray Lewis get out here and do the shimmy and the slide.
The stomp. Stomps and stomps, and you're like, oh, this is a scary individual here that's going to eat us all.
Absolutely. Right? Like, that's the thing, is that you see him doing this, and none of it comes off as disingenuous or corny or anything, because you know that behind that, he means every bit of it.
He's going to eat us. He's going
to eat us. I know. Shout out to that white suit.
Hey. Shout out to the 832 who mentions the Dirty Bird, Atlanta. Like, that, absolutely. Absolutely up there. And then the Aaron Rodgers championship belt. How did you feel about this? Because
he stole it from the discount double take, or I guess that's to happen first, then the discount.
Exactly.
It became trite, what I'm saying.
That's exactly what I was saying.
Didn't he get that from a wrestler? Did a wrestler used to do that?
I feel like you have to, right? Like, that feels like that had to have come from some level of wrestling. Yeah. It's like the feeling of, hey, check the belt, or this is mine. But it definitely became associated with them. And it was fun when it was just that. Mm-hmm. Then when it definitely became trite is the right word. It's just, it was overused.
I think a powerful one goes back to the 60s and 70s. The Gronk spike. That dude put holes in the turf.
Yeah.
Like he knocked it down.
What about the Tony Gonzalez dunking the ball over the goal?
He was one of the first ones to do that.
Love it. Mm-hmm. 281, do we count this as a signature celebration? Because this might be my favorite individual celebration, especially in the era where it was the full no fun league, but Joe Horn going to the
cell phone.
Yeah, going to the upright and getting his cell phone out to talk on the phone. Like, he definitely got a fine for that. And I don't think that he did that multiple times, but I loved that.
That was the peak of celebration during that time, too.
That is a bad man that that plants that cell phone before the game.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I forgot this. 281, Cam Newton, Superman. Had the country doing that for a moment there. Mm-hmm. Antonio Smith, Samurai Sword. Samurai Sword is great, which is funny because now you notice that all the kids are doing not quite the Samurai Sword. They're doing the like the strap in, right? Like the I got you strapped in, but it looks kind of like the Samurai Sword in some ways, doesn't it?
Yeah.
T.O. Popcorn, solid. Ken Griffey, home run swing follow through. I like that interpretation of this.
That's not, I guess that's a celebration. That's just awesome, is what that is.
And this might be one of the best ones, because I actually do this, and it's because of this. From the 979, Tiger Woods fist pump.
I mean, every time.
100%.
I like the point.
That should be his logo, man.
I like the Tiger point.
I know he got the different logo, but that should be his logo.
When he's walking it in and he's pointing, that to me is even better.
Manziel, money.
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot of great ones.
Yeah.
And what's interesting is, as we do all of this, right, I keep coming back to, like, will they compare to the simplicity and, like, the directness of the Mutombo finger wag?
No.
I don't know if there's anyone that hits quite in the same way.
Like, everybody, like, you don't even have to follow basketball to know the Mutombo.
People do it.
The finger just wave.
In regular context.
Not in my house.
Yeah.
Not in my house.
Not here.
So, a loving salute. Rest in peace to the legend, the incredible human that is Dikembe Mutombo.
58, man.
58. Yeah,
he passed at 58. We got the news early today. He passed at 58 to brain cancer. And so, rest in peace. Condolences to his family and all the people that love him. You will be missed dearly. All right, it's In the Loop, Sports Radio 610. Thanks for hanging out with us on a victory Monday after the Texans get a 24-20 win over the Jaguars. Coming up next, let's go around the NFL, where would you possibly trade this Texan away? Let's see. We'll talk about that next.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays? The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.